I'd like to speak about one thing, and if we have time, maybe a second, maybe a little bit of Divrei Chizuk afterwards. I want to speak about a shaila that I think is nogea and applies. Probably you've all come across it in some shape or form. I've had the opportunity to speak to Rabbi Rosenberg about it a number of years ago. Just checked in with him today as well. And the maskana, the conclusion, we'll discuss briefly, but more important is to understand, I think, the back and forth of how to reach the conclusion. That is suturing on Shabbos. I assume every one of you, or almost every one of you, would raise your hand with a situation. If I asked, did you have a situation where somebody, you come to a situation and there's a cut, whether it's Friday night or Shabbos morning or Shabbos afternoon, half an hour before Shabbos is over, and a little kid who fell on his scooter, or somebody who was cutting, you know, the eggs for Shalosh Shudis, and she sliced her finger and it's bleeding and it needs stitches. So what do we do about stitches on Shabbos? And it's really a little bit more complicated than other shilas, because other shilas just have the medical aspect. And here when we have suturing on Shabbos, we have an added component of the cosmetic aspect. Sometimes, you know, this is not a big deal. You can stop the bleeding, bandage it, clean it, and it's fine. But if it's a gash on somebody's either hand, it could be on a face, that could leave a scar that could be very long-lasting. If it impacts somebody who's not yet married, especially a young lady, that could have very serious, you know, even more serious effects. So we have to sort of figure out what do we do when we're not dealing with a pikuach nefesh, because if it's a pikuach nefesh, you know what to do. You don't ask shilas, you don't think about Shabbos, you do what you have to do. So we really have to figure out what's going to be the situation when it's not defined as a pikuach nefesh situation. As I understand, and again, I'm not here to tell you anything medical, and please feel free to scream out if you think that I'm missing something. I'm open to that, whether it's in halacha or the medical aspect. There are fundamentally three reasons why you need sutures. Number one, you want to prevent an infection. Number two, you want to stop the bleeding. And number three, for cosmetic purposes. Anything else that, any other reasons to stitch other than, okay. So these are three things that I'll have to, obviously, if you can't stop the bleeding and you have to suture it to stop the bleeding, not you or, a doctor or a plastic surgeon oftentimes. So if it's to stop the bleeding, that's going to be pikuach nefesh, regardless of, anything else that we have to discuss. So I want to raise a few questions. Could somebody tell me what a potential problem, what an isser might be? Let's talk about it just for cosmetics. What do you think would be a potential problem with stitches on Shabbos? What? Tefira, tofer, sewing. Okay, stitching. That's one.
Well, how are we getting there? The stitching's not happening.
Okay, getting there. Great, fine.
So that's going to be the...
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. What?
What if you glue?
Glue could be better in a sense because you're not doing the stitching, although the Rambam says that gluing papers together, the Rambam doesn't talk about stitches, but he talks about gluing papers together. He says that's halakhically the same thing as tofer, as stitching, interestingly enough.
What about
tying? Tying, where's tying? Oh, I planted him, my gabbai. So if you ever did a look at how a surgeon, plastic surgeon, or whatever, how somebody stitches, after they stitch, which is to put the two, the needle through the two pieces of skin, at the end of each stitch, there's also a knot. And that knot is a knot. That's kosher. Kosher is a separate malacha entirely. So you have numerous things to talk about. Now, my next question is, I understand if you ever did a split out of chasana, and all of a sudden you hear a and like, uh-oh, my pants are gone. So you take a needle and a thread and you stitch the crotch where there's a rip in the pants. So I understand that that's a malacha on Shabbos. Do we say the same thing about skin? Does sewing or does making knots apply to the human body? Why?
Because you're still doing the malacha.
You're saying the action is the same exact action. You're going through the exact same motion. Fair? Mm-hmm. Okay, another question. Let me start with this. Build bona. Bona is I build something. If I take a hammer and I bang in one nail to hang up a picture, that was bona, that was Mishnah Daraisa. If I would somehow do that to a person, I don't suggest banging nails to hang things off people whom you don't like. But if you would that be bona? Is there bona doing something to a person? Rabbi Kanner teaches Daf Yomi. The Torah says that Hashem built Adam Harishon's rib into Chava. And it uses the word Vayivan, he built. So Bona, Chazal in the Sinna, Bona applies to a human being. So if Bona applies to a human being, maybe we could say that also sewing applies to a human being. Maybe making knots on a human being also is considered making a regular, making a malacha applies to a human being.
What if you don't stitch?
What are the other options?
What if you don't stitch? Leave it open.
What will happen?
It heals itself.
Does it? Well, there'll be infection. Okay, but then there'll be a risk of infection. I'm assuming once you've decided that it needs stitches, you probably decided that because...
If you don't stitch your pants will always be that way. If you don't stitch your skin...
Ah. So let's say something fabulous based on what Mr. Borgen is saying. That maybe the sewing that you're familiar with, like with pants... is different than sewing when you do sutures on skin. You know why? Because when you sew, how do you fix pants? You have two flaps that you have to stitch them together, and that's sewing. What happens when you do sutures, when you suture a wound? It's to hold two pieces of skin together so that what? So that the skin can naturally heal and forge and merge together. So what you're doing is not actually the, you know, you're just bring. I mean, the suture is just bringing the two pieces of skin together, and maybe that's not considered sewing at all. Because sewing is when you fix something by sewing two things together. Here you're not doing that, you just bring them close together, and the body naturally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu naturally makes them merge through the healing process. So maybe we could say that sewing that I'm familiar with from the, you know, from whatever they teach in BBY for the 11th grade girls when they learn how to sew or whatever, is not the same thing as sewing when you're sewing skin. That's a very good point. Now, misakin. That's a very good question. Is there a misakin by human beings? So the Gemara tells us that makah b'patish does apply for medical things. Specifically, the Gemara talks about a case of popping a pimple, mapis mursa. And the Gemara says maybe that could be like misakin or makah b'patish. So there could also be a problem. You're fixing the person, right? The person has a rip wherever it is on their, you know, face, wrist, not hopefully not wrist, face or wherever else it is, and you're fixing it. That could be makah b'patish also. So let's try to think. Maybe we could argue, I'm going to present sort of how we could knock it down to make it as mutter as we can. Let's say we could argue that sewing exists by fabrics but not by humans. Maybe, you know, building, like we had a pasuk by Adam Harishon, built his tzela, his rib into chava. Fine, there's building by human. Maybe there's no tofer by human. Maybe sewing doesn't apply to humans. Maybe that's not going to be an issa d'oraisa.
You're not completely attaching it. It's going to heal and attach itself.
That's another reason? Okay. So that's another reason why this kind of sewing would not be possibly d'oraisa? Maybe we could also say what?
We could go further on along that line and say that it's not permanent.
Oh, very good. Very good, very good, very good. So I actually contacted our friendly, some of you might know him, I'll leave his name out, one of the local from plastic surgeons who I've discussed these issues with in the past. I asked him this question. I asked him, Dr. Blank, do you, his name, last name is not Blank, but I just don't like telling pieces of his name without his permission. So Dr. So-and-so, do most of the stitches that you do, are they with stitches that you remove after 7 days or 10 days? Or do you leave them there? He said, most of the things I do are dissolvable. So I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what dissolvable means, but does that mean that they are permanent? I mean, yeah, they're permanent.
No. You're
but they're not there anymore. They just dissolve and therefore they're gone.
Does it matter?
Fall away. But still temporary.
I think of them as less than the ones that have to be removed. The ones that have to be removed, the metzias of the thread or whatever it is there.
And it's going to be removed.
Without a physical act of removing it, it's there kind of permanent.
I hear.
But the dissolving ones are disappearing on their own.
I could hear that. So I don't know. I don't know what this status is. What?
The knot is also not a kesher.
Oh, the knot, we also have to figure out. The knot is there forever. On the other hand, you're saying it's not there. The knot is gone. Right. So that might make a bit. So I'm a little confused. That was my follow up when he told me that the most stitches that he does now are dissolvable. I said, my follow up question was exactly this. I don't know what the status of dissolvable questions are. But. Part of what I think I want to do here is to figure out whether it's d'oraisa d'rabbanan. You know, Joey said that, or either way, you're driving a car to, you know, bring a patient there, is the following. If you go to the patient on Shabbos afternoon, let's say Shabbos afternoon at 3 p.m., we'll see, it doesn't matter when, we'll figure out when Shabbos is over later. You get to the patient and you see that it's not such a serious cut. It's going to need stitches. You know it's going to need stitches. You've been in the business long enough, you know it's going to need stitches. But it's not a cut that, in your eyes, is considered a pikuach nefesh. So, you're saying there's always a risk of infection.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, so well, like if somebody would have a cut that doesn't need stitches, you'd clean it up, you'd wrap it up, and maybe you wouldn't, send them, somewhere else to get cleaned. You'd clean it yourself. So
there's an inherent difference between something that will ultimately need to be stitched and something that doesn't need to be stitched.
In terms of the depth?
In terms of the openness and the susceptibility to infection.
Right.
I'm not telling you can't get around it with antiseptic and wrapping it well, but it's not the same.
Right. So that will be the first question. You have to figure out as a professional.
That you're trying to accomplish with the stitches. The wrapping and cleaning is two separate steps. There's a wrapping and cleaning, which is a temporary fix. You still need something to ultimately correct.
Correct, but that might not be pikuach nefesh. That might not be pikuach nefesh. Meaning, so let's say like this. And again, you'll always err on this. You know how to err on the side of caution when there's a question. But let's say you've decided there's no risk of pikuach nefesh. It's a cut like many other cuts. It's a little deeper, therefore it's going to need stitches. But it's not pikuach nefesh because you could clean it. You'll pour. I don't know if I assume they don't use hydrogen peroxide anymore, right? I don't know what that means. Okay, fine. So you'll do whatever you do to clean it. You'll wrap it up and tell them to go tonight at 8 o'clock to the urgent care, to the ER. That's if it's not pikuach nefesh. If you're not sure, okay, you'll do what you got to do. Now, if it is pikuach nefesh, then of course you'll drive as you have to. But the thing with stitches is that oftentimes, when you have other cases, when you come to a pediatric kid who has trouble breathing, you can't say, you know what, Shabbos is out in 2.5 hours. Let's wait 2.5 hours and hopefully he'll breathe till then and then we'll take him in then. But when you have stitching, that again, bleeding is under control. So there's no issue of loss of blood. Infection, that's going to really be the tough question. If you could clean it up well enough that you could wait. So as Rabbi Rosenberg and I spoke, there was a very unusual phrase that Shlomo Zalman said. Scenarios like this. What time is Shabbos out this week? 5:30-ish? 5:45? Okay. At 4:45, on the way home from Mincha, a kid is riding his scooter home from Mincha, and he falls, and he gets a... You've all been there. He gets a gash right over here. I think every single one of my kids have stitches right over there. I think we went to the same plastic surgeon for about at least two, if not three of them. So there's an hour left to Shabbos. So is there a reason to go in on Shabbos? So if you're concerned for pikuach nefesh, so you stop the bleeding. The infection, risk for infection, listen to what Shlomo Zalman says. I would say, in an hour, you'll be able to control the infection, whatever concern for infections, you could take care of it after Shabbos, right? Listen to the following line from Shlomo Zalman, which I think you'll all appreciate, and you might even smile. Shlomo Zalman said, he probably said it in Yiddish, I don't know the Yiddish words, I'll say it in English. The bacteria don't know when Ois Shabbos is. It's a great line. Bacteria don't know when Ois Shabbos is. They don't know when Shabbos goes out today. Meaning, you're saying, in an hour, nothing's going to happen. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, bacteria don't know. If you're allowed to do it, because this is a situation of pikuach nefesh, so you're allowed to take care of it. So that would be what Rav Shlomo Zalman says. Now, I don't know if everyone would agree to that, especially if you know that it's an hour, between you and me. If someone would ask me, I'm not passing for atzal right now. Someone would come to me and say, Rabbi Orly, my son just fell. It's an hour before Shabbos is over. There's no danger of bleeding. Hatzal is here. They want to know what I should do. They're telling me that he's going to need stitches. Should they take him in? I would say, if it's not dangerous, I would probably say if it's an hour to left till Shabbos, and there's no bleeding issue, no blood control issues, And it's a, what we call a typical cut on the chin that a kid gets when he falls off his scooter. I'd probably say wait till after Shabbos and go to the ER after Shabbos. That's probably what I would say.
What about the issue should we call Hatzalah?
I would probably tell him the same thing. That's a tougher question because I'm an ignorant non-medical person, so I don't want to say this looks like there is known danger or yes danger. Somebody like you is probably more intelligent than me in medical, you know, with your medical experience. If you come and say you think that this warrants or doesn't warrant, so I'll bow my head in submission to your vaster medical knowledge than myself. And if the doctor says he doesn't, so. But we do. We'll get to halachah l'mayis in a minute. I want to finish off with one, with two interesting points. And then we'll say one point halachah l'mayis. We said that maybe stitches are only d'rabbanan. Because maybe it's on a human body. Maybe it's not real stitching because it comes together by itself. Okay. What if you hold that stitching is d'oraisa? So which Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests that it is. Rav Shlomo Zalman holds that stitching is d'oraisa. So others say it's not. Rav Shlomo Zalman or Bach holds that stitching is d'oraisa. So he has a beautiful suggestion that you might have heard of, and we'll suggest one other besides this. The halach is as follows. Let's say, anyone here a mohel? None of you are mohelim? Okay. So let's say there's a mohel. And the mohel is, of course, allowed to do a bris mila on Shabbos.
Unofficially.
Unofficially, that's not good. So let's say somebody... let's say somebody does a bris mila on Shabbos. And he cuts, and he halachically fulfilled the mitzvah of mila midaraisa. It's a kosher mila. But there are some strands of skin that a better mohel would probably have severed as well, and he didn't sever that. He didn't sever those strands that would have a better mila would have really done. But he fulfilled them into the raisa, but he just didn't do a great job. So halacha is, it's called tzitzim, strands of skin, she'enam ma'akfim, that don't hold back the mitzvah. You fulfilled the mitzvah, but you didn't do it in a great way. So the Gemara says that if you have a situation on Shabbos, right, on Shabbos, let's say he finished doing whatever he put down the knife, he walked away, and somebody gives a look and says, what about that little strand of skin? So Gemara says, you fulfilled the mitzvah, you can't lift up the knife, come back, and get involved with cutting anymore, because you fulfilled the mitzvah, there's no permission to be Mechal Shabbos anymore for Bris Mila. But the Gemara says, but if you're in the act of doing the Bris Mila, that means I can continue, Joey?
Yes.
Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says that if there's a little bit of skin left and the mohel is still in the middle of doing the bris mila, since he's in the middle of the mitzvah, he's allowed to continue fixing it. Again, once he stepped away, he's not allowed to come back because he fulfilled the mitzvah. However, while he's doing the mila and he realized he got this, got that, he missed something. Now the mitzvah has been fulfilled, but he's still involved, actively involved. He's osik b'osa mitzvah. Then he's allowed to go back and do that strand that he fixed what he needs to fix and fix that strand that is not absolutely necessary, but would look better if he would. That's the halach about bris mila. Comes Rav Shlomo Zalman and says the following. A person has a laceration, and there's a risk of infection. That's called pikuach nefesh. There's a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Save him. Take care of the infection. Give him the 3 stitches that he needs to prevent an infection. Oh, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, once you're the plastic surgeon or whoever is doing the treatment, once the doctor is stitching the 3 stitches that are necessary to prevent infection, that's life-saving. What is he doing? He's in the middle of a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah called? Life-saving. While he's doing that mitzvah, he could continue doing as many stitches as he needs in order to make it look as good as it could. In other words, Rav Shlomo Zalman was asked, what happens if you have a situation? This is really when you have the shalas about plastic surgeons on Shabbos. You could do it, he could walk to the urgent care on Rockway Turnpike. He could walk there, you could push him in a wheelchair, in a baby carriage, in a stroller, whatever it is. Maybe he could even bike there. So on the other hand, the guy at the urgent care, you have an idea who's the PA on duty on a Shabbos afternoon. So you could take him there, or you want to bring him to the plastic surgeon that Hatzal likes to send to. So this is what Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, that since you have to do Chilul Shabbos for the infection aspect, once you're doing the mitzvah, you're involved in the mitzvah, the infection aspect, there you could do it in the best possible way, which would be to get it done at a plastic surgeon or the hospital of choice that will be able to provide the most aesthetically pleasing, cosmetically ideal outcome as well. And that's an important svara of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Because of that, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, and this I know probably what I've had conversations with at least one or two of you over the past few years, is that when there is a situation, again, if you decide that he's going to need stitches on Shabbos and there is a risk of infection, then once you're in that situation, you can have the heter to make sure that it's going to look good with a plastic surgeon. One final svara before, to finish this topic off, is an interesting idea that I saw from Diane Fisher from the Eidah Charedis in Yerushalayim. He says something very unusual. Let's say you come to a house, again, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday, Shabbos afternoon, and a young lady, an 11-year-old girl, 14-year-old girl, banged on the edge of a table. The edge of a table, thank you. And you say, you know what? Stop the bleeding. Bleeding stopped. Does she need stitches? She's definitely going to need stitches. I suggest you go to have a great plastic surgeon, but there's no need to go now. You don't need a plastic surgery. You could just take care of it with the guy who, the guy is a doctor on Rockaway Turnpike. So this mother is thinking, she's going to be in Shidduchim in a few years, right? What's going to be? She has a mark and it's not going to come out good and you don't have a plastic surgeon. Who knows what? He's going to do a crooked job. So you tell her, you just take care of it right now. You don't need you shouldn't be Michal Shabbos for this because there's no risk anymore. So what's going to go through the mother's head? I could do it right now with a guy, but the outcome might not be good. You know what's probably safer? You said the guy from Atzal said, I no need to be Michal Shabbos. I'll just wait. I'd rather wait. I want to get a good plastic surgeon. I'll wait till 8 o'clock tonight, 9 o'clock tonight. I'll get a good plastic surgeon. So you say, okay, we'll take care of it right away. Atzal guy leaves, and the mother's saying, I can't do it on Shabbos. Okay, I'm not going to be Chal Shabbos. And that's how people are in this neighborhood. You tell me you can't be Chal Shabbos, they won't. Okay, I'll go tonight. Meanwhile, what could happen? You told her to go down the block to Rockaway Turnpike and let the guy sew it up and he'll take care of it. But this mother with a 13-year-old, 14-year-old high school girl in Teg or BBY or Haft or Hal, whatever it is saying, I don't want my daughter to, have trouble, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years from now. So I'll go tonight to the plastic surgeon, says Diane Fisher. By them wanting to get the plastic surgeon, they know you can't go on Shabbos because you said there's no risk anymore. They will end up endangering themselves for the risk of infection by not going taking care of it right now. And therefore, he says, because people might do that, you can go to a plastic surgeon right now. I'll say that again. A woman who hears this, I'm just giving an example of a woman. Somebody who hears that, you could take care of it with a guy right now. No need to go. There's no pikuach nefesh right now. They're going to say, I know there's no pikuach nefesh, but I'm worried about how it looks. And therefore, I don't want to take care of it now to take care of the medical aspect. I'm worried about how it's going to look. And therefore, they'll push off the treatment until after Shabbos. If they're going to do that, then they're endangering whatever risk of infection is setting in for the next 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours until then. And therefore, that's dangerous. So says Diane Fisher, therefore you should tell them they could go to the plastic surgeon now so that they don't, God forbid, not take care of it because they want to make sure they get a good plastic surgeon. So say, go now to a plastic surgeon. That's an interesting svara of... I'm talking about a Jewish plastic, plastic surgeon. Let's assume he's Jewish. Yeah. Yeah, if he's not Jewish, that, again, I'm not talking about driving, but if you take a car, now let's get halach l'maisa. Halach l'maisa. The easiest thing would be take a car service, which is the Rabbanon, right? A geisha driver to a non-Jew to do the stitching. That'd be great, right? The problem is if you know the plastic surgeons that are the best are Jewish. So what I have found, and I think you'll probably concur with me, tell me if you have a different way that you deal with it, but the local plastic surgeons do carry their phones on Shabbos. And they all have smartphones. And you all have smartphones, and I have a smartphone too. So you take a picture of the wound, you send it to the plastic surgeon, and he will tell you, from plastic surgeon, now you sending the picture is at Moshe Derabanan. And he will respond, because that's his job, he has to respond on Shabbos, and he will tell you, this is something that could wait till, you know, meet me in, you know, the ER, you know, over here, over there, in my office, at 8 o'clock at night, after Shabbos, and we'll take care of it then. Or he says, this has to be taken care of sooner. And then you'll have, that's the easiest, and I think the surest...
We don't want to wait until the doctor says to wait.
Is that a common thing? Does that happen?
As a practical matter, to protect our license and the future operations of our college, if we were to try to encourage someone not to go, but the person stated clearly their desire to go,
uh-huh,
we would be duty bound to take them in order to
okay
protect their license,
uh-huh,
and all the future patients.
So I hear that. Okay, so understood. So let's just talk this scenario out. You send the picture to Dr. Hoshander, Dr. Scheinman, whoever else you send it to. Doctor says, this is fine. They could come at 8 o'clock tonight to my... 9 o'clock. I have somebody coming at 8. They could come at 10 o'clock tonight to my office. And this mother, it's 11 in the morning. And she's worried. She's freaking out. She says, no, you have to take me. You know, I don't want to wait till tonight. Take me to the hospital. So the doctor said there's nothing wrong with it. The doctor said it's going to be fine. But she wants to, so now you're in a different shaila. You're not in a shaila of pikuach nefesh for this kid with the potential scar, even though the doctor said that there isn't going to be a scar. You're in a different shaila of having to do what you got to do as far as Hatzalah is concerned to keep your license. And we need Hatzalah. And we need Hatzalah to have their license, and therefore you're going to have to do what the patient wants. If the patient, I could imagine that a lot of patients, if you tell them that you're sending the picture, and they're with you right there, they're sending the picture to the doctor, and the doctor says you can wait till after Shabbos, I think a lot of people in this neighborhood will probably say, great, I have an appointment with the plastic surgeon that you're suggesting, I'm very happy. And that's probably what will most often happen, I'd assume. Yeah.
There's one element that I'd like to stick in that wasn't touched on that I think is relevant to our calls and our transport decisions. The way the Rav presented the situation, the cuts are very specific, cut and dry, that there was a laceration, say a knife, someone cutting something. The child is pulled off of a scooter and bangs their head on the concrete. The child who strikes their head onto the corner of a table, there's an element of trauma, of head trauma, or whatnot that's involved. And I know that people right away are thinking, oh, give me a break, what kind of evaluation do they get in the ER? But we are bringing them to an emergency department, not to a plastic surgeon's private office. And although the plastic surgeon may have been called and is already heading in for suturing, that person does, and Dr. Weisberg can correct me if I'm wrong, but that person does get an ER evaluation by a nurse, by an attending, who at least goes through the mental process of, do I have to rule out a concussion? Is this patient a candidate for a CAT scan or some imaging or observation? Everything, the way it was presented by the RUV, only dealt with cut, bleeding control, infection, and cosmetic.
That's why you're the head of Hatsa. That's why you're the coordinator, not me.
There is a trauma and a potential for internal injury, head injury, or other issues that we are covered as an agency when we have that patient evaluated in the emergency department. Whether they have tunnel vision or not is not on us. We did our part.
Right. So that you have to. Right, so if as you see fit, there's a risk that, as Joey said, to whatever other internal types of injuries, you'll have to, you know, care for those which are could be more severe than laceration, perhaps, if that is the case. Fine. Any other questions on this this topic? I'm happy to have follow-up. Many of you, you can get my email or phone number from Joey or some others. I want to finish with one machshava, perhaps. That was the halakha part, just one quick machshava. That talks with these parshias. We're talking about the beginning of Shmos. We're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael are in pain, and Klal Yisrael were in pain then, and Klal Yisrael were all we're all reeling, we're all in a pain, in a situation now. And we want to bring the Geula for ourselves, the same way Klal Yisrael then wanted to bring their Geula for themselves, from their tzar. So I want to share with you a very beautiful thought that I mentioned in Shul. One or two of you heard it, and from the Levaya of Rav Tzvi Solomon last week, when the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood mentioned the beautiful idea that I'd like to share with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts the way we act. Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem is your tzel, he's your shadow. You stick out a finger, what does your shadow look like? There's a finger. You stick out two fingers, your shadow has two fingers. Whatever you do, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in kind. When Moshe Rabbeinu looked out and saw a fellow Jew in pain, all of a sudden, Vayar b'sivlosam, he felt their pain. All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can now, like our shadow, say, okay, now I could feel the pain of Klal Yisrael. When one Jew feels the pain of another Jew, that hanhaga of Hashem tzilcha, Hashem acting as our mirror, as our reflection, enables HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to feel our pain, and just like Moshe Rabbeinu brought a geula to whoever he was helping, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he sees one Jew feeling the pain of another Jew, could also bring that same geula to Klal Yisrael. And it manifests itself in another way. Eka Asher Eka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go tell the Jewish people, who am I? Eka Asher Eka, very unusual name that we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu referred to in the rest of the Torah. Says the Medrash, what does that name of Hashem, Eka Asher Eka, mean? Says the Medrash, I'm with them like they're with me. The way they act, that's how I'm going to act. The way they, to the extent that they'll feel the pain of other Jews, I will feel the pain of other Jews and bring the Geula. Finally, I'll finish with one beautiful idea that I just heard and I just mentioned in Shul also, in a different context. Baby Moshe's in his little floating basket. And Basya opens it up, sees a little boy, and the Torah says, "V'hine nar bocha." The young man was crying. What's the problem? He's not a nar, he's a baby. So Rashi has one answer, it's not important for now. Says the Targum Yonasan, I think. Do you know who that nar was? It doesn't mean that the baby Moshe was crying and he had a voice like a young man, no. Who is the young man? Aaron was there. Just like Miriam was standing next to, the, you know, watching from a distance, Aaron was there. V'hinei nar bocheh. Aaron, the older brother, saw, oh my gosh, my little baby, he's being captured, he's being kidnapped, there's this lady taking him, little boy Aaron, 3 years old, he says crying. The next words in the Torah are, v'tachmol alav. That brings the pity, the rachmanus of Basya onto baby Moshe. Because the brother was crying over there, that brings rachmum over here. When we feel the pain of another Jew, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Rachman to Klal Yisrael. Gentlemen, when you serve Klal Yisrael, when you serve us in Far Rockaway, in Lawrence, in Woodmere, in Cedarhurst, in Bill Harbor, in us, wherever you are, and in other places, you're feeling the pain of somebody who's Bitsara in the most vulnerable way, in the ways that I can't even begin to imagine. When you do that, you're expressing that sensitivity to another Jew, the pain that another Jew has. That's what's going to bring the geula. We should be zocha to not have to need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachmim and have any more pain, but as long as the situation is, we need to have Baruch Hashem people like you who are able to feel the pain of others and therefore bring the rachmanis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Baruch Hashem bring the geula to all of us in the situation we're in this isolated situation that we find ourselves in, and globally, Baruch Hashem, with the geula b'meheir of Yomeinu. Amen. Thank you so much for having me.